Good morning. Thank you, Lucas, for that reading. Talking about points for powerful parenting. When you get married, you're trying to figure out how to be a husband or a wife. The next thing you know, you're a mom or a dad, and you're not done figuring out how to be a husband or a wife. Chaos tends to ensue, but if you plan ahead, you can eliminate some of that chaos. You can lower it down a little bit. And as Titus mentioned, I've got 10 points this morning, but this could just as easily have been 50 points on parenting. I just didn't think you might be able to sit for that long of a lesson. So we won't do 50, we'll do 10. And when these are done, there are probably a bunch of things that you say, oh, I would have put in this lesson or that in that lesson, but... And I would like to hear what you would like to put in this lesson that I have not added. Some of the obvious things, Bible study won't be in these 10, but that's an obvious thing. I wouldn't tell you to do that with your children any more than I would say, be sure to feed your kids. If you're going to feed your kids physically, feed your kids spiritually as well. But these are some things that through the years I have found to be very helpful. And I started this by going to parents many years ago that I saw had raised what I believe to be level-headed adults. And I said, how did you do that? What did you do? And so this is the outgrowth of that in our experience and a lot of things. By the way, I thought I'd wear my bow tie today. This is one I've got from my dad. This tie is older than I am. So just thought that might help me along the way teaching this lesson. Now, honor your father and your mother. Who doesn't know that that's part of the Bible? And that's in Exodus chapter 5. And it's a promise that comes with it. And your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So you might read that and think, well, that's only for the Israelites. But lo and behold, when Paul quoted that in the letter to the church of Ephesus, he included this same passage. And this is something, because what did it say? What's the first thing that Lucas read when he read that? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, is it expected that children will go to Ephesians and read chapter 6 and go, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to obey mommy and daddy? No, that's not the way that works. Parents are supposed to read that and go, oh, my children are supposed to obey me. And so parents are obligated, encouraged. They are given the power, if you will, to parent their children. Parents teach that to their kids. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Right after he quotes Exodus, this is what Paul says. So that's what we're supposed to do. Now, you might wonder, why did he say fathers? Why did he say mothers? You know as well as I do that moms are going to do that by nature. As a matter of fact, moms are so natural in the doing of it that a lot of fathers might see that and go, well, I'm not going to worry about it. My wife's got that. Mom's got that in hand. No. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, tell dads, you need to have a hand in this. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And first thing we need to remember is the parent as a unified front. Parent as a unified front. Front. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand if you've realized how important this is, but it is extremely important. One of the things that we learned about marriage is not about competition. But have you seen that sometimes in parenting, moms and dads compete against each other? Oh, you just wait till your dad does this, and then we'll go do that. We'll have some fun. Or, yeah, your mom said that, but this is the way it's really going to be. Don't ever do that. Parent as a unified front. Decide how you're going to raise your children, what you're going to teach your children, what you're going to train your children in doing, and then always have each other's back. The last thing you want to do in the eyes of your children is undermine the dignity or the authority or undermine their respect for the other parent. That is one of the worst things you could do as a parent. Do not do that. Parent as a united front. When your child comes to you and says, well, mommy said I couldn't do this, the dad needs to ask, well, then why are you coming to me? When the mom says, daddy was mean to me, well, what do you mean daddy was mean to you? How was he mean to you? Did he make you mind? Is that what you're saying he did that's mean to you? You back each other up. And if you've ever got something you need to talk about, go talk about it in private. Don't talk about it in front of your kids. Well, I'll straighten daddy out. Let me go talk to daddy and we'll figure this out. No. Parent as a unified front. Start when they are very young. What's the first word a child knows? No. Why do they learn that first? Because that's what they hear. And they know what it means. If you've done much parenting or grandparenting, you know this is how it works. Child goes to touch something that they're not supposed to touch. Figure that might be a hot stove or something like that. And mommy or daddy say, no, no. And what do? What does this mean? This means, are you going to enforce that? Because I'm fixing to touch it. And what had mommy or daddy better do? You better enforce it. You better make sure that they understand when you say no, you mean no. Start when they're young. And they do that before they know how to talk. So, yeah, start when they're young. Don't wait. When they're teenagers, we'll get them straightened out. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know why you're laughing. Listen, when they're little, they don't know they're not supposed to be the boss. They're immature. All they know is their own will. That's all they have. And you, as the parent, have to learn to train them to curb their own will. If you do that, you will give them a blessing in life that can't be measured. If you fail to do that, you're going to have to visit them in prison someday. That's pretty much the way it is. They don't know they're not supposed to be the boss, and so they're going to try to do that all the time. Number three, make your words trustworthy. If you say it, do it. Follow through. The old saying is, oh, thank you, brother, but you know I got a whole thing down here. Special juice I brought from home. You want to try a swig? Don't you do it, because I've been drinking out of that, and I don't know. He'd walk funny when he left anyway, so. That, by the way, is 2/3 water and 1/3 grape juice. That helps me. Where were we here? The old saying, a man is no better than his word. You ever heard that? I heard that growing up, and I think that's pretty much true. It's true with parents as well. A parent is no better than their word. If you tell your kids stuff just to get them to settle down or do the right thing or what you want them to do, no, make your word your bond. If you tell a child, don't do that, you're going to be in trouble if you do that. Well, then if they do it, what had better happen? They better get in trouble. If you do that, I'm going to reward you with this. Well, when they do that, you better reward them. Whatever your word is, you better stick with your word. And here's the thing about that. Do we want our children to love us? Duh, of course we do. What's one thing in their little minds that's really more important than them loving us? Respect. Respect. And if you say one thing and do another, it's just like among adults, you're going to lose respect. Say what you mean to say and follow through with what it is that you say. Make your words trustworthy. That kind of goes without saying, but I'm going to say it because it needs saying. Prepare in advance for outings. Have you noticed life itself, under the best circumstances, has a tendency towards chaos? You throw some children in there and wow. And then you throw some deadlines in there, like you're supposed to be at Bible class at 9:30. Well, how are you going to be at Bible class ready to go at 9:30? What's one of the worst times in the week for a lot of people? It's between 9:00 and 9:30 on Sunday morning. What's the reason? Most likely you haven't prepared. Start preparing for Sunday morning on Saturday night, and really even before that. But here's what you do on Saturday night. You get little mini me and little mini you together. I didn't want to say little Jimmy or Johnny or Susie, because I know there's going to be people listening to this lesson eventually that have those names, and I didn't want to do that to them. But I don't know anybody named mini me or mini you, and I also don't know any two names that describe better who those children are. You get little mini me and mini you together, and you say, now what would you like to wear tomorrow morning to Bible class and to church? And you help them pick it out. You let them have a part in that, which we'll talk about some of that later. But that's what you do on Saturday night. And then you decide, okay, here's what we're going to eat tomorrow morning for breakfast. And if we're going to have breakfast, how much earlier are we going to have to get up? And Do not value sleep over readiness. If you plan to be on time, what's going to happen? You're going to be late. So plan to be early. And good Lord willing, you'll be there in sufficient time that it won't be chaos. And you'll get up the next morning, and if you've done the things that you need to do to prepare for Sunday morning, you will be ready. There won't be any hassle. There won't be any fusses. There won't be any arguments. Well, you will have eliminated much of what would certainly be fusses and arguments if you prepare ahead of time. No matter what it is, prepare ahead of time, whatever that outing is. Involve them in family decisions. What are we going to do this weekend? What would you children like to do? I know they're kids and they're dumb, but they might have something to do that they want to do. They're really not dumb. They just don't know. They just don't know. You can ask them what they want to do. How about pets? Are you going to have any pets? Now, if they don't bring it up, you don't need to ask. But if they do bring it up, you can talk about that, talk through some things, and reason with them about what good pets are and what other pets aren't, and whether or not they like cats. And, of course, that just depends on how they're prepared. But those kinds of questions. What are you going to do on the weekend? Are you going to have pets? What's going to be for supper? Now, you don't do this 15 minutes before supper necessarily, but you might say, what would you all like to eat this week? Who wants to have macaroni and cheese or spaghetti or liver and onions? Whatever the children might like, you can involve them in that, and that lets them know, hey, I am somebody. Mom and Dad care about me, and they involve me. And without saying so much, you've already taught them that because of what you've done. So involve them in family activities. Also involve them on what the rules are going to be in your house. Many me, many you, what do you think should be our rules on when we should come in from playing outside? Or how late should the curfew be when you have kids that are a little bit older? Let them help you make decisions. You'll be surprised. You might say, oh, my goodness. Well, they'd say 3 o'clock in the morning. No, they won't. No, they won't. You give them some responsibility, and you see how well they handle it. You put them in a situation where they have to make a decision, and, you know, it's a challenge when you've been part of the decision. Well, now you're obligated to keep that decision. When somebody else imposes that on you, what's the tendency but to rebel? But if you let them be a part of it, and here's another thing. You can let them have a say, okay, if you mess up, what's going to be the punishment? What are we going to do for punishment? And they'll go, oh, wow. Because they're thinking about the other one rather than themselves. A little brother or a little sister is thinking about the other one. Well, here's what we ought to do. And they'll come up with some pretty good ideas, and they'll be effective. And you don't have to do everything they say, but you can work with what they say when you involve them in family rules and family punishments and those kinds of things. Because all that has to be worked out one way or another, and somebody has to decide. It's a whole lot easier to have them help you do it. Number 6, give little ones a range of choices. Little ones. Because you say, what do you want to wear tomorrow? Well, I don't know. No, you give them a range of choices, and that will help narrow things down. Do you want to wear the blue shirt or the red shirt? See, this is not rocket surgery. It's really pretty simple stuff, but it will help. You want to wear the red shirt or the blue shirt? Do you want to, what else have I gotten? You want to go to the zoo or do you want to make a picnic? I don't know, can you picnic at the zoo? Do they allow you to do that? You can offer them some choices. Here's a couple of things you can choose from. Now, they may have an alternative choice. You say, do you want to wear the blue or do you want to wear the red? And they say, well, I want to wear the green. Okay, let's wear the green. But in giving them the choices, you've helped them to figure out what they really want. And once they decide that's it, rather than you deciding, then they're much more apt to go along with it and to cooperate. Here's another thing, choices. Do you want to do ballet or do you want to do taekwondo? We're not going to do both. Now, you might think they go together. Wouldn't that be neat to see a bunch of ballet dancers doing taekwondo? Maybe that'll be a new thing here. But you've seen it, and I've seen it, and maybe you've been the one. You see parents running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to get their kids to every little thing in the world that they want to be involved in. You have to say no. Which do you want to do? Do you want to do Boy Scouts? Do you want to do Girl Scouts? You get a bonus on cookies that way. What do you want to do? We're not going to do everything, and you better give them some options and let them make some choices, but limit those choices as well. You're not a chauffeur, so don't set yourself up to be one for the rest of your life. Number 7, respect them as people. What does that mean? They're little. How can you respect them? Can you respect them? Who gave them to you? God, you're exactly right. Exactly right. Now that, if you didn't hear that, God gave us our children. Think about that. Imagine you're at your house one day, doorbell rings, you go to the door, and there's Jesus. He's got a little baby. He says, hey, I need you to take care of this kid for the next 50 years. I know. I had to find a number, and so far, none of ours are 50, so we're still working on it. And so you take this baby and poof, Jesus is gone. What do I do? Well, you know one thing, Jesus gave you that baby. You better take care of it. You better do the best you can. You better learn some things. You better study some things. You better do a little research so you know how to take care of this little child. That's what it means to respect him. Here's something that I think is important. Talk to your children as you would talk to an adult. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Talk to your children as you would talk to an adult. Now, I know when they're little babies, oh, come over here, you're asleep. Yeah, that's fine. But when they get to where they're communicating, talk to them like you would talk to an adult. What does that do? That tells them automatically, without you saying it, that you respect them and you want to communicate with them and you want them to communicate with you. Talk to them as an adult. Ask questions that are not just yes or no questions. Well, you were watching those cartoons. What do you think about those cartoons? You were out playing with your friends. What do you think about your friends? How do you like the way they play ball? Ask them questions that require them to think a little bit and come up with a response besides yes or no. What's the usual question we ask our kids about their day? How'd your day go? What do they say? Fine. They don't say fine. They say fine. Well, what do you do then? What's the best thing you experienced today? Boy, there's a question. Anything happened that aggravated you? Might be a clue to the reason they answered the way they did. Think of questions. You give some time thinking about questions you can ask your children that will help you have an opportunity to communicate with them and talk to them as adults so they learn that you expect them to behave like adults and to talk like adults. That's what talking to them like an adult does, and that's a huge part of showing them respect. And here's the thing about kids. If you do not show them respect, we might think the result would be they won't show us respect, but no, it's worse than that. If you do not show them respect, they will probably fail to learn to respect themselves. And that's one of the worst things you can have happen to a child, is for them to think they are not worthy of respect. So treat them with respect. Speak to them with respect. Yes, you're responsible to discipline them when the time comes, but before that, and even during that, speak to them as adults. Number 8, oh, you'll love this one. Do spanking right. It's not a question of whether or not you should do spanking. Do spanking right. How do I know this is true? Well, let's see if it's in here. Yeah, Proverbs 13:24. He who spares his rod hates his own son. What's that say? You spare the rod for correction. You hate your son. Well, I didn't think I hated my son. Well, the practical aspect of it is if you spare the rod, you hate your son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. And then Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son while there is hope. What does that mean? Time's coming when there may be no more hope. You better discipline him while there is hope and do not desire his death. In other words, if you don't spank your child, you don't discipline him, you don't use the rod, you're putting him in a situation where death might be his eventual destiny. We'll say it that way. Proverbs 20:30, stripes that wound scour away evil and strokes reach the innermost parts. That's what you're trying to get to, isn't it? trying to get to the way they think, trying to get to their heart. And Solomon says, when it's the right time, spank them. That'll get down to the innermost parts. By the way, you only spank when there has been a challenge to your authority as a parent. You do not spank children for accidents. You do not spank children because you're upset and they get on your nerves. You spank a child only when they have challenged your authority as a parent. And if you're angry, then you wait until your anger subsides. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What does that mean? Bless their hearts, they're dumb, they're ignorant, they don't know. That's why God puts them in the hands of parents so they can be trained. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you beat him with the rod, he will not die. Amen. You shall beat him with the rod and deliver his soul from Sheol. How many passages have we read so far about spanking in Proverbs? We're not done. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You want your kids to be wise? Learn how to use spanking as a disciplinary tool when they have challenged your authority. A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son while he will give you, or when, and he will give you comfort, and he will delight your soul. These are passages from the book of Proverbs. The man God made wiser than any other mortal man in the world. Number 9, enjoy your children. Yeah, I wanted to say that right after spanking. Enjoy your children. Have you read the 127th Psalm? If you haven't, you might even want to mark this down somehow and make a little card and put it on like a memory verse and put it on your bathroom mirror to remind you every morning when you get up. This is what it says, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. There you have it. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. You know what I've learned about arrows as an archer? You can never have too many. And you got to have straight ones. And they got to have a good head on them. Boy, there's a lot about arrows right there. How blessed is the man? How blessed is the man? How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them? They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. God fully intends for us to enjoy our children. I believe he enjoys us. Why else would he let us keep on living? Enjoy your children. Learn how to enjoy them. Number 10, where are we here? Make your home a haven. Is your home a show place? Has Better Homes and Gardens been to your house to take pictures? Now, maybe for some of you, they have, but I don't think God intends for our homes to be show places. I think he intends for our homes to be havens. Make it a place where your kids enjoy being. Make it a place where the environment is sweet and kind and nice and loving and gentle. Where there's discipline when it needs to be, but the rest of the time it's wonderful. And let them know that they are welcome to bring their friends into your home. Have snacks ready. Have things ready for them to drink. And you might back off on the sugar a little bit if you don't want them bouncing off your walls. But if you're prepared to have visitors and invite them to bring them into your home, and you've got puzzles and you've got games and you've got all kinds of things you can do, and if you've still got a DVD player, I know that's technology that's going out. We got all the new stuff now. We got screen time. You can even have fun with some of the new video game systems that kids can do together. But all of these things need to be done with your supervision. If you've got a DVD player, then you can determine which DVDs are safe and fun to watch and which ones work and which ones don't. You don't just turn them loose, but you make your home a haven. We had an opportunity several years ago when our kids were in high school. And I remember this because I still have a sense of wonderful fulfillment from the way this went down. It was a horrible situation. One of their classmates had died, been killed in a car accident. Yeah, that's awful. And there was a situation, we were talking to one of the teachers, why don't you just put the word out, have the kids come over to our house. And I don't remember how many kids did we have. It was like 40 or 50 kids just came over and just hung out. And you might think, oh boy, I bet your place was a mess when they left. No, it wasn't. It was fantastic. That was a long time ago, and I still remember that. It was wonderful. But if you invite your children, if you make your home a wonderful place to be and let your kids know, you bring your friends on in here, guess what? You know what's going on. And when their parents call and say, my kid's over there? Yeah, they're over here. They're fine. We're having a good time. We're making s'mores. We're popping popcorn. We burnt the last bag. Can you smell it? Whatever it is, we're working a puzzle. Some kids have never done anything like that. And think about this. Your children will have friends who have messed up home lives. You know that? When you bring those little fellows into your house and they say, oh, this is the way a family can be. That's the way a daddy can be. That's the way a mommy can be. This is the way a home can be. I want my home to be like this. They may not have that when they go back home, but they will know that it exists and it will give them a view for what can be. And how many opportunities will you have through a situation like that to impress them with the love of Jesus Christ? Because that's really what this is all about. We might listen to this lesson and say, well, I don't know how much of that has to do with Scripture. No, if you're looking at this, you're seeing every single one of these things has to do with the teachings of God through His Word and the example that His Son Jesus set for us. We're just living out the kind of logic and reason that God would give us to live as parents of young children and raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of God. I hope this lesson has been helpful. But as we close, I got a lesson for you, or a question for you, based on the fact that God is also raising children. How are you doing as a child of God? Or are you yet outside the family of God? Do you need to be adopted? Because He'll adopt you. That's what He's about. By the way, every person in here who is a child of God, guess what? We've all been adopted. And it's great. And if you've never been adopted into the family of God, we want to talk to you about that. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we'll pray for you. As parents pray for their children, we will pray for you. We just want you to know that God is all about family and relationships, and He wants you to be a part of it. That's why He sent His Son to die, to buy us back out of our sin and make us part of His family, to give you His Holy Spirit so that you might be born again into the family of God. If you want to talk about those things or do any of that, you want to be baptized into Christ or get the prayers of this congregation, we're going to sing a song of invitation and encouragement for you. Just come forward and let us know this morning how we might help you. Let's stand and sing.